I'd like to present a challenge to the graduates and really to all of us. It will be specifically designed around the occasion of graduation. So take your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 4. If you would please, Philippians chapter 4. This is a bittersweet time for me because it is thrilling to see someone who you care about see a successful change in their life, a successful movement forward, an accomplishment. But, as I will mention as a part of the message, with accomplishment comes change, and that's where the bitter comes in with the sweet. It is sweet to see accomplishment, and the desire accomplished is sweet, and yet there are times when, even in the sweetness of accomplishment, there's some bitter that has to go with it. But I'd like to speak to you just for a few moments this evening. Graduating God's Way. That's the title of what I'd like to speak to you about. It would be specifically to Isaac and Josh. So strap your seatbelts in because I'm going to tear into you one last time, just like I have done in the teen group over the past years. I mean, just say publicly that I appreciate these guys. They are good examples to the younger guys in the teen group. They have been a good friend to me. I've watched them go from boys to young men. And I hope to see them continue in their maturity and their godly walk. But this evening, I'd like to talk about graduating God's way. Now, this particular process is something that is applicable to all of our lives, to any time there is a change in our life, and especially when there's a major change. But I'd like to give you four things that you need to do when there's a major change in your life. Four things that you need to do when graduating God's way. Many people call graduation a commencement because although you are graduating out of one aspect of your life, you are commencing or beginning or starting another aspect of your life. So what happens when you embark on a new phase of life? Well, the first thing every graduate should do is, number one, give up what's behind. Give up what's behind you. You're in Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 13 says this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Bible also says this regarding those things which are behind, not just reaching forth to what's ahead, but it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, when we have to focus on what God has done for us, when we do that, we have to give up what God has put in our past. Now, memories are a wonderful thing. As I was reminiscing over some of the activities that we've done, both corporately as a part of Maranatha Baptist Church and unofficial times with Isaac and Josh, I came up with several things. And when you spend several years with somebody, there's a number of things that we do. But we've camped out together. We've built bonfires together, and if you don't know our bonfires, I think between the three of us, we've burned the equivalent of a national forest. I mean, we like fire, and we like them big. Bigger is better. Let me just tell you a story. There was a time that we had a teen activity, and I thought, boy, I'm really going to give these kids a bonfire, and I did. And my neighbor stopped at the stop sign 3/4 of a mile up from our home and wondered what the glow on the top of the hill was. And so he could spot it, and I think I could be spotted by satellite based on what we did that night. But we had a good time, and we like to do big fires. But that's something that we've had a lot of grown-up type conversations around the campfire. We've done a lot of campfires. We've done bonfires. We've mowed grass together. We've fished together. We've hunted together. We've cleaned deer together. We played sports. We've watched sports together. We've shot guns together. Right now we're working on a cow fence, which I need some posts. Drilled this week, if you can help me with that. We've done a lot of things together. We've done a lot of fun stuff. We've done a lot of work. We've had a lot of accomplishment. And as awesome as all those things have been, they're memories now. It was neat. It was fun. It was wonderful. But they're memories. Hold those memories tight. Don't forget your teenage years. It's a wonderful time of life. And though you need to hold them tight, let them be memories. In other words, don't live your life trying to recreate the past. Whether good or bad, let it go. Forget those things that are behind. When it comes time for a change in your life, give up what's behind you.
As you enter a new phase of life, it's time to give up those things that are behind you. But notice the second thing every graduate should do. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though every graduate does need to give up those things that are behind, they also need to grow up through what's upon you. Give up what's behind you, grow up through what's upon you. 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Understand that though there were pressures in high school, you are now embarking on a new set of challenges. It's time to grow up. Spiritual growth is only going to happen as you continue to desire the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Every challenge of life is an opportunity to learn more about Christ and His all-sufficient grace. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're only going to do that as you experience life, you trust Him to learn more about Him and have the grace to go through those challenges. See, you have faced many challenges. The math test challenge, the English test challenge, the term paper challenge. You've faced a lot of these challenges, but you've got some new ones coming up. So though you do need to give up those things that are behind, you also need to grow up in those things that are in front of you. That doesn't mean that you are immature. For your age, maybe you are mature, but that doesn't mean you don't have growing to do. All of us, no matter what our age, have growing to do. And God is using the current circumstances that we're facing to grow each and every one of us. But it's only going to become through our desire for the sincere milk of the Word and using every situation in life to grow in grace. You're going to have new financial pressures. You're going to have to afford cars and insurance and clothes and maybe some equipment for your work or schooling or your college education. You're going to have a college workload, not a high school workload. You're going to have changes in your relationships with your parents, with your friends, with that special someone. All of these things are designed for God to help you grow up through what's upon you. Let all those things that are being introduced into your life drive you to the Lord. Don't neglect God. Growth is fun. Growth can be exciting, but there will come a time when every graduate will also need to do number three. He'll need to man up to what's before you. Give up what's behind you. Grow up through what's upon you. Number three, man up to what's before you. You know, it seems almost unfair that God came to Job in chapter 38 and said, "Gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." A few chapters later, chapter 40, verse 7, "Gird up thy loins, thou like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me." God called Job on the carpet after he had gone through some terrible stuff, and God still hadn't explained the why to Job yet. And yet God said, "Hey, buddy, man up. Listen up. I've got some things to ask." And you're going to be under some pressures in life that seem unfair. We all will. We're going to be under some situations where it seems like, okay, God, where is the grace that you promised? Okay, God, where is the mercy? The Bible says your mercies are new every morning, and I hadn't seen them for 3 weeks. I'm not getting this. I don't understand what's going on. And at the time we expect God's mercy, many times He says, man up. There's going to be a time when you will reach your end, and God's going to say, gird up your loins like a man. Man up. God approached the man who suffered seemingly insurmountable loss, and while he was still hurting, God said, "Man up, Job, I've got some questions for you." Now, I've told both of you this many times, and I'll state it publicly. A boy does what he wants to do. A man does what he has to do. That's right. Hard times, they are a-coming. And a real man or woman can endure hard times. But a spiritual person can flourish during hard times. It's not about just being tough enough and manning up and being that egotistical or hard individual that can push through it, but rather the spiritual individual that can submit to what God has for them. So give up what's behind you. Grow up through what's upon you. Man up at what's before you. That's why Paul told the Corinthians, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Now, man up to your responsibilities. Man up to the unfair things God puts in your life. But never forget that the strongest men can set the burden down the most gently. The strong man can be gentle. And never forget that your strength comes from the Lord. Not your young, strong, hard body, but when you are old and soft and weak and your body is breaking, a godly man can still move mountains. That's true biblical strength. Be strong. Josh, Isaac, man up to what God has before you. A graduate must give up those things that are behind them. You can't change it, you may as well give up on them. Grow up through what's upon you right now. Those pressures in your life, no matter what age, no matter what stage, grow up through what's upon you. Man up to what's in front of you. And then finally, every graduate should reach up to who's above you. Isaiah 58:9, "Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, Here I am." The other day my daughter was running through the house. I sent her to go find Mommy, and she couldn't find Mommy. And she got very scared and started crying because she thought she knew where Mommy was. But when Mommy said, "Here I am," everything was okay. And there are times when we need to reach out to God because we don't know. And there's nothing quite as comforting as when God says, "Here I am, here I am." Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Remember who it is that craves your attention. When you reach up to God, you're not doing God a favor. None of us are doing God a favor when we reach out to Him. The God of the universe is not desperate for attention. He has angels crying day and night, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," which was and is to come. He's going to have 24 elders fall down before Him and worship Him. If the angels didn't worship Him, the stones would cry out. God does not lack for our attention, but yet He wants it. Remember the perspective here. It's not about us giving God part of our time as a favor. It is the God of the universe reaching down to us and saying, "I will spend time with you." That's the proper perspective when we reach up to the one that's above us. He's not a needy friend. Who is Jesus? Remember who He is. He is the all in all, 1 Corinthians 15:28. He's the bread of life, John 6:48. He's the conqueror, Colossians 2:15. He is our deliverer, Psalm 18:2, Romans 11:26. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, Proverbs 18:24. He is God, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the Creator that measures out the heavens with a span, has to humble Himself to behold the things that are in heaven. He is with us. He's the one who's willing to spend time with us. He is the High and Holy One of Israel, Isaiah 57:15. He's the Intercessor, Hebrews 7:25. He is Jesus, the sweetest name I know. He is the King of Kings, Revelation 19:16. He's the Light and my salvation, Psalm 27:1. He's the Mighty God, 1 Peter 5:6, He is near, Psalm 73:28. He is the overcomer, Revelation 3:21. He's the priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, Hebrews 4:15. He is our Redeemer, Revelation 5:9, that redeemed us to God out of by His blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. He is the Savior, Titus 2:13. He's the truth that sets us free, John 14:6. He is the uplifted Christ, John 12:32, that will draw all men unto Himself. He has the victory over death, hell, and the grave, 1 Corinthians 15:54-57. He is wonderful, Isaiah 9:6. He is the yearning groom waiting for His spotless bride, the church, Isaiah 61:10. And He is Zion's King, Psalm 48:2. Never forget who it is that wants to spend time with you. But never forget, He wants to spend time with you. Never forget that. He's always available for us. Let God's presence humble you. You're never going to reach up to the one who's above you if you think you're on top of it all. God may have to use life to remind you to reach up to Him. You're never going to reach up if you think you're already on the top. But remember, you have a big God. Don't have a big self-image. Have a big God. Not a big self-image. When you have a big self-image, you don't reach up to God, you don't reach out, you don't do anything but think about yourself. When you have a big God, then all these other things fall into place. And whatever you do, reach up to the God who loves you with an everlasting love. What do? When you graduate, you have to give up what's behind you. When you graduate, when you have a change in your life, no matter what age you are, you have to grow up to what's on top of you. You have to man up to what's in front of you, and you have to reach up to the one who's above you. Isaac, Josh, let these things become a part of your life. Now, it's very easy for some of us to kind of look at you and say, well, it's just high school. But I want you to understand that the point in life that you are right now, to you, it's the biggest thing you've ever done. To you, it is the most real, the most scary, the biggest accomplishment that you've ever come to. Don't let anybody minimize your trials. Your trials are only minimized by God. It's no less real, the fear that you may face as someone who may be facing a new job transition. It's no less real, the pressures that you face of finances than the man that's got a family of 10. Because for you, that's where you are. That's why you got to grow up, man up, and reach up. That's why you have to let the past be the past. When it comes to your graduation, always remember the one who wants you to reach up to him. I think of many things. Some things are humorous. Some things are fun. I think of Isaac and Josh, and many times they were synonymous as far as if you saw Isaac, you saw Josh. And as they've gone and got different jobs, they're not quite together as often, but they're still seen often together. And I think about friendships, and I think about those things that are special. Don't neglect your friends. Yes, give up those things that are behind. Let memories be memories, but don't give up the friendships. If a friendship dies, don't let it be on your end, okay? And if you both do that, you're going to have a good friend for the rest of your life. Don't let petty issues come between you as friends, but also don't let your friendship come between you and your relationship with God. God may put you on different sides of the world. That's okay. I've got friends right now that are on the literally complete opposite side of the world. And you know what? We're both happy. So trust God. Trust God that He'll take you and do with you what He will. Give up what's behind you. Grow up through what's upon you. Man up to what's before you. And reach up to who's above you.